time to double down on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Bruce Wessel is playing with money in his writing. We'll ask him about that on Scribble. And a cry goes up from the huddled masses. Who is Bruce Wessel? Tell us something about yourself and why you turned to writing, Bruce.
I'm still trying to figure out who I am at my old age, but I'll give it my best shot here. I grew up in the Quad Cities, went to college in Minnesota, spent most of my professional life kind of here and there and everywhere I was sent to for career reasons, spent a couple of years overseas. Now I'm back in the Quad Cities and finished with my first book.
What prompted you to write?
Well, I've been an avid reader all my life, even, you know, when I was a little kid. Back at Adams Elementary in Davenport, we'd have library day, and, you know, I think the rest of the kids were bored, and I was in a corner reading. So I think any writer is also a reader. And then I wrote the first page of this probably 20 years ago, and due to laziness or lack of motivation, I just kind of gave it up, and one of my best friends ended up writing a book and self-publishing his book, and that really what motivated me to do this. So it was a great experience.
Well, I think we'd like to hear the blurb about this book, if you don't mind.
Sure. This is a nice summary on the back. Johnny's having a bad day, the worst, actually. A sales rep for a food service company, he's at the top of his game and usually enjoys his job. But today, he's lost out on his company's prestigious sales award. The bad news delivered by a smug, egomaniacal, egotistical boss. He's trying to rebound from losing two key accounts. His customers won't pay their bills, and on top of it, he catches his long-term girlfriend cheating on him in his own bed. So, when his worst customer, a world-class sleazy jerk named Bernie Jacks, yanks Johnny's business at Mother's Cafe, Johnny reaches his breaking point. Bernie accidentally leaves a bag full of cash unattended, and Johnny knows it's time to take the money and run to Vegas. With a plan to wash the stolen money by betting on everything from sports to blackjack, and with Bernie and his behemoth mother soon on his trail, Johnny embarks on an adventure in Sin City full of loudmouth Vegas partiers, a sage, mysterious gambler, bickering tourists, sweet waitresses, a drunken bachelorette party, an annoying pop star, Russian mobsters, and an escort with a heart of gold. Can this teed-off, cheated-on, mistreated regular guy pull off the ultimate win and get away with it? Will the Vegas trip land Johnny in more hot water, or will his brush with stolen money leave him with a clean start? When the cards are stacked against you, sometimes the only play you have left is to double down.
There you go.
Which is the name of the book.
And that brings us to the title of the book. So hopefully there's a little thematic reference in there, too.
Well, I don't know, Roald, how would you analyze this?
I'm anxious to read the book because to me, having taught English, so I'm familiar with I'm not sure exactly what genre this book
is, right.
But it seems to me a combination of Tristram Shandy, Peer Gynt, Don Quixote, and that Swedish book that came out a couple of years ago, 100-year-old man who climbed out the window and disappeared.
I would say that's a little higher level, but that's
well,
a good comparison.
It sounds exactly like it.
I was told it's a cross between Elmore Leonard, Carl Hiaasen, and Dave Barry. So
well,
if you're familiar, so That's a good spectrum.
Do you have any idea where it came from? I mean, is this
Everything. I mean, there's some things I witnessed, or you know, every writer witnesses something and writes it down, or they draw from that. I actually held the job that the main character had in the book, but the story is 100% pure fiction. I've been told the main characters are quite a bit like me, but the story itself is complete fiction. But you know, the experiences in that are, you know, hopefully believable and real and entertaining at that.
So how would you identify the book? It seems to me one of the problems with a book that defies description is it's hard for bookstores put it in. And so it really gets short shrift. I mean, is this a mystery? No. Is it an adventure? Is it a romance? Is it a picaresque? Is it a satire? Is it humor? Is it parody? Well, it sounds like all of those put together.
That's a great question. And even, I'm sure you've talked to other writers,
when
you upload into Amazon, you have to choose a genre.
Yeah, so what genre?
You know, and there's really, you know, if verbally right now, I could say this was 80% adult humor, adult fiction, humorous fiction, 20% suspense. You know, or drama.
Right.
You know, but of course, you don't really.
So where did it end up at Amazon?
What do you mean? General fiction.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's a couple subcategories, I believe. But, you know, you can't.
Right.
There's only so many you can
do. Right.
And I can't. I don't want to call it a thriller when really it's, you know, that's not the main. Someone expecting a, you know, a James Patterson might look at that, and that's not what it is. But there's a, you know, there's an element of suspense, you know, with the theft and some of the relationships and chase involved with the interaction with the Russian mobsters and the customer who chases them to Vegas to try to get their money back. So,
yeah, it's it seems to me that you would go from chapter to chapter with a sense of what's next.
It's I mean. You know, and again, I wouldn't call myself a professional writer, but I can honestly say the independent reviews that I've gotten, people, I think the flow is very good in this book. You know, there's a lot of humor, a lot of adult humor. Just I would say picture the movie The Hangover. If you've seen that, you know, the plot's different, but it's that kind of theme, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, at least we have that peg to hang it on.
Sure.
So what made you decide to write it, since you said you aren't a writer?
Well, I guess not. Like I said before,
now you are, yeah.
You know, when I wrote to my first experience, as with anybody, I didn't know how confident I was in the product. And I sent the product to the editor and I said, just so you know, I'm not a writer. And that's when she replied back, you just wrote a book, so now you are a writer.
Okay, what and, editor did you?
Online. I didn't really know. I searched online and went through an editing service. I was very satisfied with them, but you just don't know until you do it. And there's a lot of them out there. So,
right. And how did you pick one over the other?
Truthfully, some of it was price. Okay. Some of it was – usually when you send a book away, they'll give you a 10-page free sample edit. So you could send – you know, you could go online and find, say, as many as you want. They'll use
this it. Is with the intention of self-publishing.
Exactly,
it, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I have – you know, again, I didn't even try to traditionally publish, and not because the – you know, and again, I don't want to brag, but – the quality of this book, I think, is better than many I've read that are traditionally published. The content may not be for everyone, but I think at the end it's more than satisfactory.
So it got edited. Then did the editor suggest a place to get it published, or did you then have to find?
No, they don't really do that. At least mine didn't. Right. I had it in my mind I was going to self-publish anyway, I'm on book number two. It's not finished, but at that time, it's like, this is going to be my bay. I wanted to own it all. I wanted to self-publish, and you never know.
Right.
Strike it rich. All the proceeds go to you.
That's right.
That hasn't happened yet. But
Well, you know, that's true. And I've mentioned before, I had a friend who was a very successful novelist. And her books sold in this country well, but they sold especially well in England. And she made not enough to live on by a long shot, even with 20 books in publication. So when you go with a publisher, unless it is a blockbuster, yeah, you're not going to make your money back at all. And I think that's one of the big reasons so many people self-publish. If it breaks at all, then you benefit from it. And if it doesn't, well, then, you know, you've made a bad investment and you can write another book.
No, that's 100% correct. And, you know, if I come back at a later day or when you bring other authors in, I could talk for an hour straight on just my whole learning experience with the self-publishing, on what you have to – if you want to do it the right way, which I tried to do. If anybody's listening, you know, I did – I think the cover's great on there. The editor I went through, I was very happy. You know, it's an investment, but
so how did the cover get picked?
Again, a random, just do an online search, and you can see their product. You can see samples of their product.
Okay,
you go and different cover designers. They'll only offer like say 3 revisions, and this And I tried to find one that a product I liked and offered unlimited revisions because I haven't been through this before.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, generally with me, everything in life, it takes me more than 3 times to figure something out. So, and again, on my second book, I'm definitely going to go back with her. She was great to work with.
And then how does the book get promoted?
That's up to you, too. Depends on how much, and I've learned, and my friend can attest, and some other people. There's scammers out there. There's all different ways to promote, and it depends on how much money you want to spend.
Right.
I'm not a big social media person. That's definitely a good way to go, where it's not going to cost you a whole ton.
Right.
But you know, you can set up your own personal website. There's a lot of things, but there's also book promotion services. There's all sorts of different
things. And have you
things.
Used those?
Oh, sure. You know, and actually one of the better ones, in my opinion, is the Amazon service itself.
Right.
Because really, you don't pay anything until somebody clicks on your little ad. And it's, you know, and it's penny. I don't want to say pennies, but it's not much.
Right.
And you can also track an exact, you know, if I went on my sales site right now, and let's just say I had a sale today, I don't know, who knows how they came across it, but if they do click on the Amazon ad, it'll say resulted in sale. So, you know, it helps you track, and it's really cheap.
Right.
It's cheap. You only pay for the clicks.
Right.
You know, or if you pay, you know, and I did, I've paid for, you know, I've paid a lot of money to promote, and I haven't necessarily seen the rewards or you know, who knows why. There's a lot of product out there, but
yeah, that's the problem. The number of books that are published.
Right.
I look at Publishers Weekly, and it doesn't cover all the books by a long shot, but in every week there's a long list of fiction, nonfiction, specialized books that are coming up 2 or 3 months away.
Right.
And you think, who's going to read all this?
Right. No, I know. It's a challenge. And, and the problem is even with my friend, you know, who got me started, you know, and I'm just with confidence, I tried to do everything the right way. Are there a few mistakes in there? Still probably, but I tried to do everything the right way. And it's frustrating when there's a lot of people, now that you can self-publish, that's a drawback, is that there's a lot of junk out there.
Right.
Excuse the language, but there is.
Yeah, was it last year? Some 400,000 books in the United States are self-published.
I bet. Yeah,
but that's because anybody can
You could go on there today and finish it in a day, and you could type 8 words and call it and put it in a Kindle form and call it a book. And that's how, you know. I mean, that's the frustrating part, and then trying to get yours noticed when, you know, and it's, you know, and every time I get a sale, I tell you what, it's the crowning achievement. And my goal when I wrote this to have some stranger in Oregon that I don't know buy this, And all of a sudden I get a review, a great review by some complete stranger. And it's like, that made it worth the money for me.
You know, that is an interesting thing. It's somewhat akin to radio in that we're here talking and we haven't a clue that anyone is listening.
Right.
We have no idea. But it's in real time. And if there's a reaction, you'll get a reaction fairly soon. But when you write, you put something down on paper and you are remote from that point on. I mean, it's just out there. You're not there to promote it. Your voice is not heard. There's your book. And will somebody pick it up? Will they read it? Will they read it all the way through? Will they react to it? Right. You know, that's a real shot in the dark, isn't it?
No, it is. And you know, and I, again, it's even my friend's two books, their quality is excellent. Self-published books, better than a ton of books I've read that have actually gone through traditional publishing. But how do you get it noticed? And, you know, it's challenging.
That's true. And there has to be some way to wave a flag to let people know, hey, I'm here, here's a book.
Right.
You probably ought to read it.
Right.
But what was the toughest thing? What was the toughest part besides writing it?
I think just, you know, and I've learned, on the second one I'm working on right now, I've got the rough draft finish, is being disciplined. You know, you can, if you just want to take an hour a week, you could, you know, throw a paragraph or two together. But if you really want to, you know, put out a good product, is being disciplined and making it part every, maybe not every day, but certainly, you know, a few times a week. You know, most of us have full-time jobs, so it's hard, but it's being disciplined. And the one thing I found, and I remember winning spelling bees when I was in elementary school, well, I probably might finish last right now. I know, that's the other challenging thing is your grammar and spelling. You kind of, when you don't practice it as much, you forget how much you actually knew way back then. So,
well, it's, you know, you use the naughty word. You said discipline. And that's the thing that I lack.
Yeah.
It's you do have to stick to it, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And as I said before, I think I wrote about the first, I don't know, 6 to 10 pages of this, I would say as many as 20 years ago. And then, you know, I wanted to write a novel. Well, lack of discipline.
Well, what made you pick it up again?
When my friend, you know, the start of self-publishing, and when my friend, who, you know, he is a reader, but he never really talked about writing, and all of a sudden he did. I'm going, I got to do this. I go, I think I can do it, and it always was a goal of mine in my life, and now I've done it. So
take us a little through your. Why don't you read the first page of your book so people get an idea of.
Sure.
The character and the style of the book.
Edit it as you go.
Again, it's not for everyone, but it's certainly, there's nothing in here that you haven't seen on TV. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And then probably even a lot less, just a little bit of language. So the book opening chapter starts off, the radio alarm clock awoke Johnny to a song he hated. It seemed that he'd heard the overplayed song everywhere, at the gym, in the grocery store. He'd even seen the hip young singer every time he'd turn on the TV. He'd heard it for the first time on the way to a sales meeting. He had no choice but to listen to it as he was riding with his boss in his boss's car. It didn't help either that he didn't like his boss. Hearing the song had the same effect on Johnny as fingernails on a chalkboard did on other people. He vowed it would be the last time he would listen to more than 10 seconds of that song unless he happened to be trapped in an elevator. He wasn't sure if it was the singer that made him hate the song or the song that made him hate the singer. He was tired and hit the off button as quickly as he could.
That's very good.
I'm not a professional writer, but I tried to set the tone there. Look at this, he's off to a bad start for the day, and the day gets worse and worse and worse as it goes along.
Did you know where it was going to end? I mean, did you outline a book?
No, not for this. On the one I'm doing now, I had a beginning and end, but on this one, no, I didn't. And I actually completely changed the ending after working with the editor that I did. Pretty much almost 100% completely changed the ending. So, and I'm very satisfied with the ending now.
You know, I've heard that quite often writers start out in one direction and find themselves going in another.
Right.
They're being led in a way they don't quite understand. And I've heard of people who are careful to make an outline first and then fill it in.
Yep.
But it must be interesting just to start and see where you go.
Right. You know, and some of, you know, you draw an outline in your head. You almost have to, but that doesn't mean that outline's going to be a, you know, perfect ABC order.
Well, at some point, I think if you've got a real live character, the character starts taking
right,
over.
Right.
I think that happened to Twain and Huck Finn.
Right.
I don't think it happened in Tom Sawyer, but one of the reasons that Huck Finn, I think, is a great book is that about halfway through, Huck begins to take over the book.
Right.
And to the point where Twain really gets worried,
right.
And at the end he kind of jerks
right.
control back of the
right.
book.
Right. Well, I'll say this is, you know, again, the whole thing that everything I learned is my – I've got kind of a food background, and we're always told as a – you know, if you walk in the back of the kitchen in the same door every time, you could walk right by that French fry that's sitting
right.
on the floor 100. Just so you have to, even as you're writing, you think this is good, or I like, you've got to have some other eyes look at it and give
right.
their, because there's things, mistakes or plot things that you might, and when three people tell you no, it's like, you better listen to them.
Right.
And it's hard. It's hard to do.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So. And I went through it all. So,
well, Roald is the reason I haven't written a book.
I keep telling you to write one.
Yeah, he keeps telling me to write one, and I send him stuff, and he,
so. Well, if I'm, trust me, if I can, I think anybody can.
Oh, don't be too sure.
I don't know. It's, I'm proud of it. I mean, it's, again, it may not be for everybody, you know, the topic and some of the, you know, adult humor. But I can promise there's a lot worse books out there than this.
Is it available somewhere other than
pretty
Amazon?
Much any? Yeah, you can get it on Barnes. It might direct you to Amazon, but if you go on Barnes and Noble
they
online,
could order it for,
right?
Yeah.
And if you have, if there's a bookstore that happened to be listening or something like that, Ingram Spark is another self-publishing format that's
right.
available at a discounted. That's generally for retailers.
Okay.
So, and that's a discounted price to them, like, you know, pretty much half of what you would pay
right.
on Amazon
right.
for it. But there's plenty of options everywhere.
Bruce,
I mean,
it sounds like you're the guy I want to talk to if I should ever be reckless and decide to publish something.
There you go.
You've been along the trail.
I've got all the answers. I can tell you to how to put on weight and lose hair, and just like me, I'm the expert.
Is the sequel a totally different book than the book they're writing
yeah,
now?
Yeah, completely. And again, I've just had one of my friends, she looked it over, and I can already see some changes I really need to make. But if you didn't know me or anybody that didn't know me and they read this one compared to the next one, they probably wouldn't think it's from the same writer.
Oh, okay.
Completely different genre. You know, I could say this one would be definitely in the thriller, action, drama genre, where, you know, this is more, you know, 80% good time humor
right.
and fun and a good
right.
good airplane book or by the beach book.
Have you done any readings or?
No, I haven't done, but I'm out, you know, I've got the book. You know, it's in several of the Quad City libraries, and there's
okay.
kind of a waiting, you know, I haven't pushed it too hard,
right.
but I know they have groups that go there
right.
where local authors go, and so I might look at that. And now that I'm on Ingram Spark, bookstores are able to purchase.
Okay.
Like, a traditional self-published book, Barnes & Noble just can't order it. They don't order on Amazon. Like, you have to have.
Right.
So the Ingram Spark has a way to do that. And I'm going to try to get maybe a couple local authors, including my friend living overseas, maybe do like a group book signing sometime at some of these places.
Midwest Writing Center might be a good place to contact.
Yeah, and I saw them at the Bettendorf Library, and and I just haven't, you know.
Right.
Well, you're going to have to wait till things settle down a bit.
Right.
That's one of the problems everyone is going through right now, that gatherings, I guess the rules are changing slowly, but as the rules change, the infections go up. Yeah. And so everybody's kind of worried right now.
But it sounds like this book would be a good one to take people's minds off the virus, right?
Right. If you're looking for a great light read, but you know it's summer, bring it to the pool with you. Again, I think there's a lot of laughs in there, and I think the characters in there are unique and very with great. I'm not bragging, but I think the dialogue is excellent here, and it sets the characters apart in some unique and funny situations too.
When you write dialogue, do you ever read it aloud to see how it falls on the ear?
No, I don't, but I read it more than once. So one time maybe isn't good enough, but I'll reread it. So, it's the dialogue for me is just, I think maybe if I have a strength, it's that. So,
well, we have a minute or two left here. Give us an idea of how you might give people a glimpse of what you're doing in your second book.
I would say so. The second book is definitely a thriller. It starts off set in Texas, an highly athletically gifted boy or man, depending on how you want to say it, has an abusive alcoholic father, loves his mother and his dog. Some tragic events kind of takes him from there, and all of a sudden that Texas boy, that Mr. American boy, becomes an assassin.
Well,
it sounds like a far stretch, but hopefully if I did a good job, then it won't be.
Well, it happens, you know.
Right.
Bruce, give us the title again.
So the book is Double Down.
And you can get it through Amazon?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, really anywhere they go book shopping, they can be led to it. So
you're working on the second book now. Are you working on it every day?
I'm close, maybe 4 to 5 days a week. So now I'm at the point where I need to get some other eyes on. I've got the bulk of the story done. It's not even close to being the final version, but it's enough where I need somebody to start looking at it and give me some critiques and things to change. So,
well, I admire your industry and, to use that naughty word again, your discipline in not only getting your first book written and published, but beavering away on the second. Bruce Wessel, thank you very much for spending time with us today. You might even inspire some of us to start writing ourselves.
All right, thanks.
Although, don't count on that. Okay, that'll about do it for today. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope you'll be with us again next week for another edition of Scribble.